He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is Fed Decision Day. It is the midweek version of the Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management and Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we've pretty much got the market in total hold mode here today. Until that announcement comes later today. Right now the Dow is down 95. There's not much moving one way or the other today. The Dow is at 32,558. The S&P is down 16 to 38.39. The NASDAQ is down 48. To 10,842. So all the major averages down about 0.4%. Russell 2000 down 1.1%, however, the small cap index. Crude oil, little weakness in the oil stocks today. Crude is down 20 cents to $88.17. Gold up $7, silver up 9 cents. We've got the euro at 0.98, well below parity with the U.S. dollar. And the 10-year is very quiet also today. It's at 4.04%. The 2-year, however, is at 4.52%, much, much higher than the 10-year. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide fee-based only fiduciary money management firm with clients all across America. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And
yeah, happy Fed Day.
Happy Fed Day. What's going to happen? We know the one given, I think, is a 75-point basis hike. Another one, okay? But it's what he says after that. And my prediction is that he'll step softly today. This will not be a harsh, wording like he did in Jackson Hole, which sent the market reeling. I don't think he wants to, influence anything with the election coming up on Tuesday. That's just my guess, okay? Go ahead, make your prediction, and we'll see.
I think we're going to get, a little bit, I think really just kind of, kind of toeing the line, right? Like you said, probably a little careful from a rhetoric standpoint. And but when you look, you look at job numbers today, ADP report came in stronger than expected. I think 239,000 jobs versus 200,000 expected. And so, employment isn't really pulling back, and it's hard to put a lid on long-term inflation when you've got, essentially annual pay, rose 7.7% year over year. And so those are all, inflationary forces that the, yep. that they still have to get under wraps. And we're not anywhere close to, kind of the historic, kind of 4.25 kind of neutral, Fed funds rate that's really, kind of prevailed for, at least prior to 2008-09. That was kind of the neutral rate for a long time there, between 3.25 and 4.25. So,
yep. So, yeah, it's all about what's next. Okay. They're poised today for a 75 basis point rate hike. Then what? Okay. Well, we'll see. On Sunday, Wall Street Journal's Nick Timiraos, who's considered to be the Fed whisperer, He tempered his earlier narrative that the Fed could switch to 50 basis point rate hikes starting in December. And, of course, that was what that 5 or 6 day rally, which was a pretty strong rally last week, was based upon. And I said, you know, this isn't a real solid reason for the market to all of a sudden turn around the direction that it's in, which has been down. It continues to be in a primary downtrend, which is the bear market. And then all of a sudden when he, you know, tempered his remarks on Sunday, we've had this would be the third down day in a row. We don't know where today will end up. You can't make much of the 100-point drop in the Dow right now. It's all about this afternoon. We saw the last time, you know, when he came out really, really hawkish in Jackson Hole, that sent the market reeling. So that is a possibility. I think if he reiterates that kind of rhetoric, you will see not a happy reaction in the market.
And he's certainly having an effect on, you know, on the housing market. I looked at the mortgage numbers were out today, and of course, you know, 30-year rates at 7.06%. Also, you've got, you know, I was looking at mortgage applications are down 41% year over year, and refis are down 85%, as you can imagine. So that, of course, affecting a. You know, they're affecting certainly large parts of the economy, and housing being you know, one of the biggest.
Well, there's another pattern that I'm noticing here in reports from really big bellwether companies, and even in the PMI manufacturing numbers, they came in a little bit better than expected. There seems to be a common theme of the supply chain easing a little bit. Maybe I'll get the door for my car that I've been waiting for 9 months. Inflation pressure continues to soften. We're hearing from most people. But new orders fell at the sharpest rate since May 2020. And, of course, that was COVID time. The consumer... and we're going to have a couple more pieces of evidence of this. The consumer is starting to pull back. Job openings, I think you mentioned that. What is that? JOTS unexpectedly rose in September. And like you say, I mean, that continues to be inflationary because they got to pay more. We still have a strong labor market. Wages continue to go higher. You got to pay a little more to get help these days. A little bit more in benefits, et cetera, and that continues to be very inflationary. Now, the big report last night was AMD, and AMD, you know, it was just they basically came in line with everything. They didn't lower expectations going forward. The stock is up right now 3.8%. It was up 6%. They actually missed their earnings by 3 cents. They missed their estimates, revenue estimates by a little bit. But
the guidance was good, right?
Yeah, it was good, but nothing spectacular. So, you know, what you got to see now in AMD is an expansion of the multiple. The PE ratio is now at 16. And for the multiple to expand, you're going to have to see falling interest rates. Or, you know, you're going to have to see some big bargain hunters come in buying AMD at this current P.E. ratio, which it has not been at for a long, long time. For the quarter, it was a pretty bad quarter, if you ask me. Their earnings were down 8% year over year. I can't remember the last time AMD actually dropped.
Probably when they were trading in the single digits about mid-2010s.
And they've been cooking at about 50 to 70% sales growth for the last three quarters. This one came in at 29%. So that's quite a putting on the brakes there. Big one slowing down. And it's linked to the PC market, which is also really slowed down. So it continues to be a very poor environment for tech stocks. And, you know, your most important sectors are generally semiconductors, social media, and software. And you know what? All of them have been under pressure. You got Microsoft, You've had Meta. You've had now AMD. I mean, these are big bellwether. Google all selling off this quarter. So, you know, I mean, the tech has kind of led the market over the last many years, too. And with the tech slowdown, it's going to be tough. Somebody's got to step up. It's the crude oil stocks that have stepped up and taken leadership. And we'll talk about a few of them when we come back. And one of these giant shipping companies, I mean, I see their ships coming in and out of our harbor on a daily basis. Wait till you hear what they said about what they see on the horizon for the global economy. I think they've got a pretty good feel for what's taking place out there. All right, this is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite on this Fed Decision Day. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Really the only thing that's up today. I've looked through a pretty good sampling of the market here so far. The only thing that's up today so far are the inverse funds on the Dow, on the NASDAQ, on the S&P 500, etc., anything tech-related. But, you know, what's going to happen with the global economy? Well, you know, we live on the Charleston Harbor here, close to it, the port. Generally speaking, there's six ships or so in our port being unloaded by huge cranes and offloaded onto the containers are being offloaded onto trucks. And a lot of those ships, on the side of them, it says Maersk. M-A-E-R-S-K. I've seen that a lot. A.P. Moller Maersk is a $38 billion market cap company. They're one of the world's biggest shipping companies. In fact, they control one-sixth of the world's container trade. Well, with a mixed bag of economic data only getting more muddled, investors are looking to more specific indicators to assess the health of the overall economy. And Maersk reported earnings today, which are widely seen as a barometer for global trade and the supply chain. Maersk has offices in 130 countries and more than 100,000 employees around the world. So not only do they have a pretty good handle on the U.S. economy, but more specifically, the global economy. And here's what they say. With the war in Ukraine, an energy crisis in Europe, and maybe coming to America, I don't know. That gas supply in the Northeast and the diesel issue are big problems. High inflation and a looming global recession. There are plenty of dark clouds on the horizon. Okay, this comes from the global shipping company. This weighs on consumer purchasing power, which in turn impacts global transportation and logistics demand. While we expect a slowdown of the global economy to lead to a softer market in the ocean, we will continue to pursue the growth opportunities within our logistics business. So we're hearing this from more than just one witness here. We're hearing it from many witnesses here that the global economy is slowing down, and that affects consumer sentiment. And normally, in an environment like this, you would have world banks around the world doing what, Barry?
Oh, I mean, you'd have world banks, you know, or looking at least softening and being more expansionary and,
exactly,
and reducing interest rates. But, of course, you know, ECB just raised 75 basis points
exactly
last week. And, yeah, it's a, It's a theme that you've continued to see. I saw something where California is actually poised to pass Germany in terms of GDP, which is pretty amazing when you look at Germany's the growth engine, at least from an export standpoint for for the Eurozone and for the biggest economy in that particular. In Europe to kind of, potentially take a, get surpassed by the state of California is, it's pretty, pretty remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Here's another big bellwether. All right. Estee Lauder, which is headquartered, in, New York, and is, a global company, $70 billion in market cap, makeup, fragrances, skin, hair products in over 150 countries. Estee Lauder is getting hit pretty hard today. It's down 7%. The stock is. Their sales were down 11% year over year, and their earnings were down 24% year over year. And here's what they said, and see if there's any similarities between what they said and what Maersk, the big shipping, global shipping company, is saying. They said for the first quarter, we delivered organic sales in line with our outlook, but the company expects the remainder of the fiscal year, I don't know when their fiscal year is, probably 12/31, to be pressured by the temporary disruptions due to headwinds from the COVID-19 restrictions in China. Okay, China continues to be a big factor, not just the COVID headlines coming out of there and the zero-tolerance lockdowns, but also the hard line that China is now taking on the people, which is going to interrupt a lot of global trade. They also pointed to the strengthening of the U.S. dollar, record high inflation, supply chain disruptions, and the risk of a slowdown in certain markets globally. So pretty much the same thing that Maersk has said. And Estee Lauder is definitely a bellwether for the consumer. Okay.
Yeah, and you can trade down. So the thing is, in that space, right? You've got lots of different products in that range,
cheaper
right?
Stuff,
right? And so as as consumer spending decreases, it's not like folks are walking around with no makeup on. They just trade down to to something that's not quite as expensive as the top line. So
yep, and I gotta believe that the ingredients that go into a lot of that. I bet inflation is a real problem for them right now. Which also, you get to price demand destruction when prices continue to go up. Now this is why I don't trade wheat futures. Russia agrees to rejoin the Black Sea grain deal as wheat futures tumble. They go back and forth.
That was a two-day event, right? I think in terms of wheat prices.
You can't tell me that they didn't put a bunch of money on wheat futures, announce that we're backing out. Of course, wheat futures go sky high. Russia sells their wheat futures, cashes in their profits, and then they say,
rejoins.
Nah.
Yeah, rejoins.
Just kidding. Well, that makes it very difficult. The commodities market is a difficult one to play. Okay, now, here's the other big victim. Here, the fallout is just crushing right now. The loan market. Upstart cuts 140 staff as rising interest rates hamper loan demand. And, we're seeing this across the board. Wells Fargo's going to lay off a bunch of mortgage people. Of course, they've had it good for the last several decades as interest rates went down, which really stoked the refi market. And now, after 40 years of rates going down, they've gone up markedly here since the beginning of the year. And that is just crushing the lending market right now. And another evidence of that is a little company called Upstart. which is doing some layoffs. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about crude oil. There's a lot in the news today. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Today it's Best Inverse Funds. S&P down 23 right now. That's 0.6%, so it has worsened a little. Dow down 130 right now, 0.4%. NASDAQ down 75 basis points right now, down 80 points. And over at the bond market, the 10-year is pretty quiet right now, 4.03, as we await Jerome Powell a little later this afternoon today. He will be more than likely announcing a 75 basis point hike, but it's all about what he says is next. All right, now, the next story I have here is crude oil, which is back up to 88. It's down a little bit today. China rumor, okay, we've heard that before, that they're going to start easing up on their zero COVID policy. I haven't seen any evidence of that, but that's the rumor. But there was another one yesterday. This was more than a rumor. I mean, this was an alert put out by the State Department that they expect an attack by Iran in the very near future. And they expect the target to be Saudi Arabia. Okay, so we'll see what happens there. But Iran has got their own issues within their country with, you know, some riots and a little bit of unrest. And the State Department put out an emergency notice yesterday that they expect Iran to make an attack here in the real near future, and Saudi Arabia is supposed to be the target.
I guess they're trying to change the narrative a little bit to look look beyond their borders instead of what's been happening in terms of the unrest internally in their country. But
exactly, so we'll see. But that would be bullish for oil prices if they were to attack Saudi Arabia, which has already cut 2 million barrels per day out of the production. So we'll see what happens there. Now, Equitrans, ETRN, reported today. Why are they important? Because they're the ones that are involved in the Mountain Valley Pipeline. That's the one that originates in West Virginia, Joe Manchin's state, and is to be completed at some point. It doesn't look like it's going to ever be completed. It's like 90% done. But Equitrans today said they were pretty doubtful on completing this because of the legal and regulatory uncertainties. And that's the one that we talked about yesterday, which is putting into question. You've got a big utility back in New England saying, hey, we need the president to step in with the presidential order to make sure we'll have enough natural gas to get through the winter. And Equitrans is saying that it's basically going to take some kind of legislation to get around these courts that are just blocking this pipeline. So we'll see what happens, but right now it does not look good for the Mountain Valley Pipeline coming from West Virginia, carrying natural gas down to the New England area, where they're very worried about supplies this winter. Saudi Aramco, back to Saudi Arabia, they score a $42 billion quarterly profit on high energy prices. Well, you know, I mean, like I say, the best performing sector this year has been the energy stocks, the fossil fuel stocks. And the big problem that they say that they see keeping energy prices high for some time is underinvestment in the future. They believe that demand will continue to grow for the rest of the decade, but they're also very worried about global underinvestment in the oil and gas sector. The Saudis have criticized Western firms and investors for trying to transition to clean energy too quickly. And I've said that many times. It's got to be a bridge.
Well, when you said 40, when you said they scored a 42, I was thinking that was going to end up being their ESG score.
Yeah, I'm sure their ESG score is about as low as it. I can't see the California Teachers Union having any Saudi Aramco in their portfolio.
Right, I doubt it.
Okay, which way are interest rates headed? Well, we watch the Treasuries. They've settled in at about 4% right now. You did have a rally in the Treasuries here recently. And I think that was all on that rumor from the Wall Street Journal about the Fed turning dovish. But now they're starting to head back up again. Bank of America says to sell any rally in the 10-year Treasury, in these rallies at the 10-year Treasury. So I guess anytime it goes down into the high threes, take your profits and run. And it seems to be that, you know, any rally in the stock market continues to be sold off, and the same is true of the bond market. Any rally we see, which puts the 10-year back under 4 for a short period of time, that rally is sold off, and that continues to be the pattern until that changes. And a pattern, a trend, is considered to be in place until that trend changes. There's a lot of secondary little trends within a primary trend. But there's two very strong primary trends right now: rising interest rates, a falling bond market, and a falling stock market. Okay, well, First Solar, it's been hot lately in the market. I don't know. You know, these solar stocks are just so unpredictable.
Yeah, the solar industry is basically, boomed and destroyed itself. Probably I'd say three or four times since probably the early 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a very, very unpredictable sector to invest in. But First Solar is probably the blue chip of the sector. You see, they lose money 1 year, then they make money, then they lose money, then they make money. But they're getting a lot of upgrades right now. There's a lot of talk about the bookings that they're getting. Is New England all of a sudden ordering solar panels in face of a cold winter and maybe natural gas shortages? I doubt it. But anyways, if you're going to buy solar stocks, there's two, Enphase and First Solar, I would say. Scorpio Tankers bubbles up after a Q3 beat. Well, that's another one, the tanker stocks. They continue to do very well. That's another sector which is closely related to the energy sector. They just ship it. And with the lack of pipelines and with the major pipeline in Europe being put out of commission, that has really increased the need. Scorpio Tankers has 124 vessels. It's hitting a new high today. It has a relative strength of 99 on a scale of 1 to 99. That's another very inconsistent sector over the years. I mean, when oil prices went negative during COVID, this stock got down to $8 per share, and now it's back to $51 per share. Their quarter, compare this to Estee Lauder, which was all negative numbers, Scorpio Tankers earning sales grew by 311%. That's a quadrupling of sales. And their earnings grew by 409%. They lost $1.39 in the same quarter last year. This quarter, they made $4.29. Well, where's the windfall tax, people, on the shipping companies? That sounds like a windfall to me. Chesapeake reports earnings. Chesapeake that's a nice move on Chesapeake today. That's about the first stock, along with Scorpio, that I've seen that is up, actually up today, in kind of a very dull day in the market with almost everything down just a little. CHK, one of the top stocks in the natural gas sector. And then the other big report last night was Devon Energy. It's actually, last time I looked, it's down 8% today. We don't own Devon Energy. What was the issue?
Yeah, their earnings forecast, you know, everything was good on the earnings front. They did reduce their dividend, I think, from, I don't know, around $1.50 to around $1.30. So that's kind of the big move for today, which means they're probably reinvesting in their business versus handing it to shareholders. But.
Yeah, okay, so that's disappointing, 8% drop. And then Par Pacific, which is they do refining, P-A-R-R, it had a huge report. The refining stocks continue to do very well, Valero, Marathon, Par.
This is Bill Gunderson.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show, where the market just pretty much in hold mode right now, but to the downside, as we await the Fed meeting results, which everybody expecting a 75 basis point hike. But what's next? That's what everyone will be listening for. The market will probably react in a big way, one way or another, I would think. It has in the past. Sometimes the immediate reaction is, all of a sudden the market goes up, and then it turns south, and then it goes up, and then it turns south. It's all about the close. So we'll see what happens later today. The small caps seem to be taking it on the chin the hardest, which would kind of be the market expecting him to remain hawkish.
Yeah, because their borrowing costs are, you know, smaller the company, the you know, historically the higher the borrowing costs. So as rates go up, or even, you know, as rates just remain, you know, elevated, or at least at their position now, well, their cost of capital goes up, and it's more expensive for them or harder for them to roll over debt in the future.
Yep, absolutely. Well, the big winner so far today is a local stock, Benefit Focus, which is just over the river, just around the corner from us in Daniel Island. It's up 47.8%. I have friends that work there. It's getting bought out by Voya Financial, which I think belongs to Prudential or one of those.
Yeah, it used to be the old, the old ING, right?
And yeah,
turned
that's
into
it.
Voya, because they still have the same colors, the orange and orange and white, I think.
And ING had such a bad name that they changed the name or something like that.
Yeah. No one ever knew if it was ING or ING. I think there was people that worked there that hated when it was either. I can't remember which way it was supposed to be. It's either if you said it one way or the other, they were like, oh, God.
Yeah. So there is a deal, and there was a deal earlier this week. Okay, and then Boyle, which is, I said natural gas is setting up for a big bounce. It looks like natural gas has put in a bottom. Natural gas sold off a lot, and now it's starting to bounce. So Boyle is, I think, three times natural gas, and UNG is up 5% today. I think that's on the trading list that I sent out this morning. And Boyle is up 8.1%. And if you look at a chart, I mean, it's volatile. Boyle was 123 3 months ago, and now it's 40. So it's lost 67%. So, yeah, at some point you're going to get a pretty heavy bounce, and that's starting to take place in both UNG and Boyle. There's a couple other shipping stocks that are moving up today in harmony with Scorpio Tankers, STNG, Sting, Seikos Energy Navigation, TNP, is up 4.2%. It's another one with a relative strength of 99, one of the strongest stocks in the entire market, TNP. And then another one from that same group is NAT, which is Nordic American Tankers. It looks about the same. The chart looks about the same. These are all tankers that carry oil or liquid natural gas. It's up 3.2% today. It has a relative strength of 97. So that continues to be a very strong but volatile sector of the market. Okay, then on the inverse side, Webb's is up 5.8%. It's three times inverse the Internet Composite Index. It's had a good two or three months with a lot of the big FANG stocks selling off. It's pretty much an anti-FANG stock. Nice breakout today. It's up 5.9%, 300% inverse. The Dow Jones Internet Composite Index. Webb's, W-E-B-S. And then one I personally like because I think that the real estate sector is going to be in trouble with lending slowing down and interest rates going up. DRV is up 2.5% today. It's three times inverse the Real Estate Select Sector Index. That would be a lot of REITs and real estate companies, etc., which has been a tough sector recently with the rising interest rates.
And speaking of, Airbnb down almost 9% today after a kind of a bad outlook in terms of folks getting out and about and renting, because most people are kind of back in the office, not doing as much remote work, so they don't so their bookings have kind of taken a hit.
Yeah, we ventured into Airbnb for a while, and then I had to cut it. I have very short leashes on stocks in a downtrending market, and I didn't get back into it. But it's down quite a bit today. Airbnb is down. Wow, that's an ugly chart. It's down 8.7% today. That doesn't bode well. That's another big part of the economy.
Well, now, think about airlines, the houses, right? Houses that were purchased, to be put on the Airbnb market, right?
Yeah.
As a way to pay, to pay from rental income.
Yeah, we could be setting up for another big real estate sell-off, like we saw in 08 and 09. And then the small caps, like I mentioned, TZA, which is a small cap, three times inverse, which is sold off recently, but that looks ready for a bounce, too. It's up 2.8% today. And the only other one that kind of jumps off the page is that electric boat that came along not too long ago, FRZA. I don't know what the news is, but it's up 43% today. Forza, FRZA, develops and manufactures sustainable and recreational electric sport boat vehicles. Now, the range is like 30 or 40 miles, something like that, on a charge. And the boats are not cheap. But FRZA is up 41% today on just massive volume. I don't know if somebody's buying it. I don't see any news. But that's a huge move. Okay, well, there's a few appointments left, I think. I didn't check with Edie yesterday. You can call 855-611-BEST to schedule an appointment with us in Sarasota, and if you'd like for us to do a virtual or telephone appointment, you can call 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.